is January the 22nd, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, God's good planet Earth. There's a lot of foolishness going on the planet this morning. Thank you for tuning in to your internet pastor, PJ. And I have a very interesting presentation lined up for you today. Wanted to feature Kushak, but I didn't get a chance to speak with him. Theological Thought, Basics of the Faith, their first album. But I want to segue into something else right now because, you know, the stabbings in Tel Aviv and the hatred of Muslims by the French, and in this country, the State of the Union address by our president. So as you drive in your car today, going to work, riding on the train, listening to me on your cell phones, thank you for tuning in to the webcast. Very interesting. Man, there's so much. Let me kind of like fade out of the music here and so that we can get right into our talk somewhat today. And it's important that we do that. All right. Let me move around here in the studio so that I can retain your attention as I have this very important discussion. We're living in perilous times in this country right now. The difficulty of racial relations, people getting along, let me tell you what I've discovered thus far, you know, about my faith. My faith used to be bent on the education that I received when I received my master's degree. When I was pastoring in church, I didn't have a Southerner's background of what's going on in terms of what's happening. And so I became a Christian from listening to the people that I felt were the authorities, the people that had all the answers. I was that noble savage. You know, if you really want to read about a man that had a stark raving influence on most of our lives, it's Solomon, the third king of Israel. This guy embodied both creational greatness and extreme sinfulness. He was something else. Hence, his profile is that of a noble savage. You can read about this guy. He's a very interesting man. You can read about him in the Old Testament scriptures, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 28, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 through chapter 11, verse 6, and of course the entire chapter of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Read those scriptures in your own spare time if you get a chance to do that. If you really want to develop an attitude of how to control the massive savage beast that is in each of us, because this savage beast can crawl into our hearts and decimate and devastate our entire being if we allow it to. So I'm hoping that you can appreciate, that's what I want to do. I hope that you can appreciate reading the material that I just gave to you. If we are to ask, how did we become that man that we are today? I wonder how many of us would answer. As you're driving along, as you're riding the train, or if you're on the bus, even if you're riding your bike, just walking your dog like I usually do, when I want to listen to the webcast, I have to ask myself questions. Does your family tree have a lot to do with why you are the way you are, what you believe about God? Do you believe it because your parents believed it, or do you believe it from face value, something that you've learned yourself? Did original sin, and we really have to deal with that one, because many whites in this country hundreds of years ago thought that original sin was to be born black. If you were born black or dark or a minority, that was sin to many people. Some people have this attitude. Well, you know, PJ, I really work hard to keep my nose clean. I'm basically a good guy, but everything that I've tried, I mean, this stuff just keeps coming out of me. And sometimes just say, well, I see a poor reflection of my evil, John, as a darkened mirror. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm trying to find the light, but it's always seemingly very, very dark. Well, let's take a close look. If you read those texts, and I'm not going to do it to you because over the years, that's what I used to do when I was behind the pulpit. But what I like to do on the webcast, excuse me, as I take my time with you today, is I'd like to share with you the idea that Solomon, this Old Testament character, son of David, the second king of Israel, and he was a good representative of, I guess, if I wanted to put it into a frame of reference that we could understand him. He was a good reference to a man that was left home alone. How many of us have been in that situation? That's where we really get into who we are and what we are when we're home alone, when no one else is there, when you think that no one else is watching. See, he was the Adam kind of man in the highest regard, this Solomon was, because he was creational, he was serving, caring, and generative. He was a good man, but he fell into dark stupors. I guess that's where we can put our lives sometimes. I feel that my life is a dark stupor coming to light sometimes. He was a student of aspirations and expectations of life. I would hope that each of us are. These aspirations and expectations is what the humans live out in their lives from day to day. He also reached a conclusion that man's morality and ultimate destiny was futility. When you read about this man, you know, and that's where I find myself at times, trying to live up to the standard of other people. You know, I've tried this. I've tried living in a vacuum. I'm just going to be truthful with you. Can I be truthful? Can I speak truthful to you? Can I cut out all the BS and everything else? You know, I don't want to come across as an evangelical. If I've ever done that, I humbly apologize for doing that. I just have to be real. My life is futility. I've been recently getting, you know, emptying out the office, clearing out junk out of my house that I'll never need to look at again, getting rid of books, text, everything. Solomon was a king that started off pleasing God to the utmost. Didn't I? Didn't you? Didn't we all? Don't we all like to think that everything that we do is very pleasing to God? He ended up serving his own pleasures, his own passions apart from God. I hope that I never end up like that. But I know that my pleasures are being served in certain areas just like yours are. Every time you go to the mall, every time you go to the supermarket, every time you buy a new car, every time you buy some new clothing, you're just serving yourself up. Do we recognize God? Do we acknowledge him while this serving process is going on? No, we are the noble savages that don't have time for God. Solomon built his great house of worship, this great house of worship for God. And even though he built it, he built a bigger one for himself. So he was full of pride and egotism, just like the rest of us are. His downfall? He was home alone. And he thought he wasn't being watched. He loved foreign women. Therefore, he took over 700 wives, and many of these women turned his heart from God. You can read about that in 1 Kings 11, 1 through 13. I'm not going to read it to you. These 700 wives. Come on, man. This is in the holy book. of our faith. Now, because it was in the book, does it mean that we are to try to copy Solomon? He was not supposed to raise the army level as dictated by God, yet he did. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. God told him what to do. He did the complete opposite. See, when you're a noble savage, you do that. Noble meaning that you start off for God, that you listen to God, but then you fail in those points. A lot of people try to tell me that that's where they think that I've done since I quit the church. Well, I'm going to tell you, I had to quit the church because of this. Because if I didn't, no one would listen to me if I were still there. So the object of this lesson is none other than Solomon. He was a noble, spiritually minded individual, but he was also a man of low nature, like the rest of us, like your pastors, like the people that you think are saintly, in which, in essence, are full of debauchery like us all. We're human beings. We have fallen. We have missed the mark. I'm ready to admit that. Solomon loved women. Some of us love men. Some of us love things. Some of us love money. Some of us love pleasure more than God. Solomon loved wealth and power. He lived the life of a man who would turn his back on his Creator. What do we learn from this very important lesson? Well, we are to use this as a mirror of our own lives. We look at this man in ancient history. And man, when you read what he said, you know, it's interesting. I think I had my book open to it. If I wanted to read one scripture, I'd like to start off with Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let me read this to you. I'm just going to read a few verses. I want you to hear, because if you're able to hear what the writer writes about this. Now, I'm not going to get into who wrote Ecclesiastes and what year it was written and all that kind of stuff. If you accept the Bible as your book, as a guide to God, then accept this as the word of God, not the word of PJ, not the word of John Coleman, okay? You're driving, you're listening to me, forget that you know me. Act like I'm a dead man. Act like I don't even exist. Act like I just popped out of nowhere into your where, and I'm just talking. It reads like this. I said to myself, this is Solomon speaking out loud. This is the writer speaking to himself. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly, until I could see that what good there is in the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. In other words, Solomon says, I want to see what I can do. Now, you have to understand this. We are to use this as a mirror of our own lives. What do I see? At what point do I see the noble nature reflected in me? Solomon goes on and says, I enlarge my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. And I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate the forests of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had home-born slaves. So the Bible condones slavery and owning them. You know, I've been reading a lot of things for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and everything, talking about how white evangelicism pushed slavery. Of course the evangelicals did. Of course the Calvinists did. Everybody knows that. John Calvin and those kind of guys, these Puritans, wait a minute, they owned slaves, didn't they? Everybody knows that. Verse 7, it goes on and says, also I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. So Solomon was in the one percenters, if you really want to keep it real. And then he says, also I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. In other words, he was having it his way. And he says, then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. And all that had eyes desired, I did not refuse them. All that my eyes desired, he said he didn't refuse them and did not withhold his heart from any pleasure. He says, for my heart was pleased because of all the labor. That was my reward for all my labor, and I considered all the activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. That's verses 1 through 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, look at verse 12, and I find that very interesting. Hope that you're still with me and hope you're paying attention. If you're driving, you can't read along with me, so you got to trust me. It says, so I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly, for what will a man do who will come after the king except what he has already been done, what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. So he was saying that there is wisdom. And if we don't seek this wisdom, or what is this wisdom that we're seeking? Well, I'm gonna try to express it in a song. Okay? And in this song, it is sung by an artist. And I won't give any introduction. I think I'm gonna let the artist do the singing for himself. Because once he does the singing for himself, then you will hear him immediately define, I think, where each of us need to be. And this is my prayer for you, and this is where I am right now. Because without this disposition, I would be, as Solomon said, most messed up. Let's listen to Brian McKnight from an album called From Here to There. Brian McKnight, listen.
Thinking back when we first met, I remember what you said. You said you never leave me.
That's exactly what the Lord said to me in 1967.
I let go.
Chasing after the wind.
Build my castle in the sand.
That's what
but
we
now
do.
I'm reaching out again. And I'm not letting go.
What?
Till you.
Listen.
Hold me.
Hold me.
Mold me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel so all alone. See, I gotta find my way back. So why don't you shape me, make me, wash me whiter than the snow? I gotta find my way back home. Master, upon my knees I pray. I just wanna be the clay. Put your arms around me. Place my life in your hands. Lord, I know I'm Sometimes I feel so all alone. See, I gotta find my way back home. So why don't you chastise me, baptize me, wash me whiter than the snow. I gotta find my way, 'cause I'm lost and alone. I've been wandering long enough to know humbly I search for you, and I'm not gonna rest till you choose me, use me. Sometimes I feel so all alone. I am on my way back home, so why don't you direct me?
Object of his affection, of course, in this record is God. He's on his way back to God. That's what he's talking about here. Thank you, Brian. I think that expresses it for me anyhow. And you know, I don't have a problem saying that. And see, and I think that's, you know, that's exactly what Solomon should have said. But, you know, he wrote it down that he was into all that stuff. And you know what? A lot of Americans are into that stuff too. And I think I have just the perfect number coming up, because, you know, we were featuring Ken Medema, right? And what he could share with us. Listen to this. This one is called The Born Builders. Born Builders.
He's got gourmet taste, and he's got the money it takes to buy fine wine, to drink and expensive food to eat. Well, he's got a lovely wife and the wherewithal to put fine clothes on her body and expensive shoes upon her feet. Nothing like a glass of wine ain't let you chase away the blues. And it digs the fancy clothes, and it digs those fancy shoes. Putting it all together, and then he's gonna be a happy man. Well, he's got a private plane, and he's got a capital gain. He can afford to fly himself most anywhere. High-class friends who say they really care, nothing like a private plane, they let you go where you want to go, nothing quite like knowing the people that you want to know, putting it all together, living it all he can. Accounts in Swiss banks to a healthy amount, and shares in major corporations all around. Maybe in 20 years or so, well, he will go where he wants to go, and no one in this world is gonna put him down. Half full, don't you know it's over? It's all that I can say. Because
tonight the final curtain is being drawn across your play. You wanna put it all together, man, you'll never see the dawn. Cause before tomorrow morning, you're gonna be quite dead and
said, tomorrow morning, you're gonna be quite dead and done. That's the way our lives are if we don't get a grip. We gotta get a grip on who we are. You know, we think that this life in America is all peaches and cream, everything beautiful. No worry about how things are going to turn out because, hey, I am who I am. All I have to do is think positive and everything is going to be positive. I know the way the world runs. I live in that world, but unfortunately, that is not the way things are with God. God has rules and regulations. He has criterions for us to live within, a zone for us to live within. I want to do things. I want to have things my way. I want to take things like Solomon took them, and I want to heap it into my own lust. Come on now. I'm just being real with it. Can we get real with it and stop playing? I want to have some fun. I don't want to have to face what my world has for me to face. I want to control my world in every aspect of it. That's what I want to do, right? Is that the way it works? You tell me. There's no need to get dramatic with it. It is a simple fact that if we take a look at what God says about our lives and how we're living, and then we compare our lives to what God has said in the Word, not necessarily behind the words of a preacher behind the pulpit, because we have a sense sometimes to idolize him, to make that preacher behind the pulpit our iconic idea of what God is like. And I've been saying this for a while. If you do not research that on your own, you will find yourself in the wrongest way trying to live by another person's standard, which is not right. So there's a particular kind of love that I'm asking you to become acquainted with. And the late Joe Sample, the jazz pianist, teamed up with Andre Crouch, the late Andre Crouch's sister, Sandra Crouch, years ago. As a matter of fact, I'm looking for the year on the album right now, and I think it was, it's not here, but I'll give you some of the people that's going to appear on this. This is one of the best numbers that I have that defines the kind of love that has motivated me for all the years in my life. So, listen and enjoy. What kind of love is this? listen closely.
What kind of love is this he has bestowed on me? I am a child of God, and I speak of a mystery. I don't know how it is, or how it shall be.
That is, don't you? That's right, Joe Sample. And on that saxophone, who was that? That was Bill Green on the sax. And keep on singing, girl.
Yeah!
That's what she's talking about. What kind of love is this?
Then I can tell you.
Then
I'll tell you how this love can be.
Can't define it right now because you're still here. Listening to PJ, your internet pastor, just playing some themes for you here, and so that you can keep up with the noble savage that you savages that we are, because I'll put it that way. We want to be noble before God, don't we? We want to talk about those things that extol him, causes us to realize how important he is and how less important we are. We do it with our music, you know, and some of the rap songs and other forms of art. I'm going to end up this cast with an album. Inside my room. And You know, I can't get enough of love, so I'm going to play a number that was written by Tim called I Really Love You. Now, whoever the person is in your life that needs to hear this, you need to really ready yourself to speak to them in these terms. I really love you. Simply put, that's all we're asked to do. Tim Shepherd from an album called Inside My Room. No, you can't find it. It's not out there today. I don't even think it's reprintable. I really love you.
I really love you.
Did you hear what he said? He said, I really love you. I really love you. Not some superficial kind of love. Not some kind of love that doesn't have any significance, any meaning. But I really love you. If you just take that thought with you as you go on here, even though you're that noble savage, that totally depraved person like me, because we're all striving to be right in God's eyes, treat everybody with human decency and respect. Don't lust after another person. You know, the lessons of Solomon that we have in the book were placed there and so that we could have some kind of direction in our lives. That's what that's all about. But thank you for tuning into the webcast today. This is PJ, your internet pastor, thanking God that you can take just a few minutes, just 42 minutes, 43, 44 minutes to just think about these things and to make them applicable in your lives as you live for God. It's not about what the evangelical says, what the Calvinist says, what the Arminian says. It's not about all of that foolishness. That's foolishness. You want to be right with God, with you? Make sure that you treat everybody with human decency and that you love other human beings and that you love God and that you obey His word. Now, I'm not going to force His word down your throat. I'm not going to threaten you with the burning hell and all that kind of stuff because I don't have the power to do that. I don't even have the power to read your heart, to be able to tell whether you are concurring with the message or going against it. Thank you for coming to my website, and thank you for your prayers for me, and I hope that I'll continuously remain strong as I share with you, with music, what God can mean in your life. Until we meet again, you know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the blessed Word of God. Bye-bye.
So many questions I must ask myself today. I wonder if Jesus thinks I've done my share today. Will I wake up in the morning to find regrets upon my mind? Will I leave a trace of Jesus somewhere? So many questions I must ask myself today.
So many questions.
What will I leave behind when life has passed my way? Will people remember my name or forget me all the same? Will I leave a trace of Jesus? eyes somewhere. Have I been a light in dark places, brought a smile to sad faces? Have I shown the world I really care? Have I lived my life the way he wants me to each and every day? When someone stumbled, was I there to care? So many questions I must ask myself today.
So many questions.
What will I leave behind when life has passed my way? Will people remember my name? Or forget me all the same? Will I leave a trace of Jesus somewhere? Have I been a light in dark places, brought a smile to sad faces? Have I shown the world I really care? When someone stumbled, was I there to care? Have I been a light in dark places, brought a smile to sad faces? Have I shown the world I really care? Have I lived my life the way he wants me to each and when someone stumbled, was I there to care? So many questions I must ask myself today.